following recorded information and training does not constitute legal advice. It's always advisable to consult with a lawyer about your case. Therefore, if you want legal advice, please see a lawyer.
The ideas, strategies, and tactics we discuss are of a general nature and have been used successfully by fathers and grandparents around the world, both in and out of family court.
By listening to this training, you are agreeing to the following terms. One, this training is recorded. By participating, you are agreeing to being recorded if you participate live in the training. Two, if you participate in and or listen to the training, you are waiving any and all rights connected to your participation. Three, you are fully and solely responsible under all circumstances for any course of action you take in your family law matter. If you do not agree to these terms, you must end your participation now.
And finally, the results of applying our training suggestions depend entirely upon your ambition, time, commitment, activity, and implementation skills. If you wish more information, please contact us at DivorceDadWeekly.com.
Hi, I'm Danny Gusby, Executive Director of Fathers Resources International.
And I'm Heidi Neighbor, President of the National Shared Parenting Association.
And we're your dynamic divorce duo. Welcome to Divorce Dad Roadmap, Secrets of Holidays and Christmas Series, Part 2, How to Have a Happy Holiday.
Please be sure to open up your action guide for this special report. We'll be starting on page 3.
So let's begin. The quote for this training session is, every day is Christmas, unknown.
Well, Danny, I wish that were true. I mean, truthfully, it isn't. This is a time when a lot of people will take some extra steps to help somebody out. And one would hope that at the end of the year, whether you celebrate Christmas or some of the other events and holidays or religious holidays that are observed during this time, like Hanukkah, there's something called Kwanzaa, which I'm not really clear on. Whatever it is that you celebrate this time of year, if it makes you think and reflect on family, I mean, this is really when families get together and enjoy one another's company and spend time, you know, playing games or watching children run around. I mean, there's so many different activities that go on at this time of year. And it's a celebration of family. And if you're going through a separation or divorce or on the cusp of it, this can be an incredibly difficult, sad time. Now, understand that when we say Christmas, we really, focus on whatever it is that you're celebrating at this time of year. And Christmas is all focused around peace and love and, you know, all good things. And you may not be feeling that way, but the truth is you will get there. Danny?
I'm very, very big on this quote, and for a couple of reasons. The first reason being is that if people actually behaved like every day is Christmas, and I don't mean in the commercial sense, but I mean in the peace and goodwill towards everyone, in the here and now, in the moment to moment, our life is made up by, you know, a lot of little moments. And usually we get so caught up in our daily routines and our daily life that it's almost like we're sleepwalking. Sometimes we forget to be courteous, we forget to be kind, and we forget that these things are the lubricant that greases the wheels, that makes things go round and round and round. And by being curt, by being short, by being discourteous, by being angry, by being feeling angry, by taking war-like actions, you know, we don't solve anything. We really don't. All we do is we get people's backs up and make things a lot worse. You know, I want you to think of, have you ever heard the story about the acts of random kindness?
What is it?
The acts of random kindness.
Random kindness.
Random
that's,
kindness,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
You know, where you'd hear stories.
Random acts of kindness.
Random acts of kindness. That where people would, you know, do things like maybe put extra money in your meter or something if they saw it running out. Right?
Think especially if the meter guy's coming down.
Especially if the meter guy's coming down the road. I mean, imagine, you know, that you're running towards your meter, okay, because you know you've run out of time. You've definitely run out of time, and you see the guy only one car away, and you see some stranger come up and put money in the meter. How does it make you feel?
Right.
Right? If we all just acted from the milk of human kindness, so to speak, I think we would be living in a much better world. You look at the news, whether it be here in Canada on CBC or CTV or in the United States, CNN. Well, we look at CNN up here in Canada, too. You know, often the stories are all about war. And I've often thought to myself, at the end of the story, we're not going to get to world peace if we can't have world peace in our own homes, if we can't teach that to our children. And we can't teach that to our children if we're not modeling that ourselves and trying to come at things in a peaceful perspective. And I know how tough it can be when someone's, you know, having a go at you, you know, when someone's really trying to take you on and bait you and provoke you and irritate you.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very, very difficult to act like Christmas is every day. The second reason that I'm very big on this quote is something that I learned from my own personal experience. Is the first year that I went through the separation and divorce with the children, you know, we separated the kids, you know, half and half. You know, I got the first half of the day, Mom got the second half of the day. Very difficult on the kids, very difficult on myself, very difficult on my mother. Difficult all around. It was even difficult on the kid's mom. So we came up with a better plan. We just said, you know what, we're going to just, you know, you get to enjoy Christmas, one of us, okay, and go back and forth from year to year. The years that I didn't have them, on Christmas Day, I would often do Christmas early. Why? No kid ever objects to Christmas coming early. Never mm-hmm. seen a kid ever say, no,
I don't
no,
want my presents.
No, I don't want my presents, and I don't want to celebrate early. I want to wait until January 1st.
Mm. Right.
Right? And you know what? Out of that, a whole new set of traditions began where, you know, I started looking at it and saying, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, it's in your own mind, really, as to what's what, where's where. It, you know, Christmas Day, at the end of the day, is really just a convention everybody's decided upon. It says, well, this is the day we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, it doesn't preclude you and your family from celebrating at any darn time that you want. And I think really it comes down to taking a big, deep breath, letting out all that anxiety as to what does this all mean, and just saying, you know, what could be possible? You know, at the end of the day, if you create a happy memory for yourself and a happy memory for your kids, that's all that really counts.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi?
That's very true. And I guess the whole point of this quote really is that take the goodness out of what this celebration and this time of year is all about and take it into the day-to-day, every day. That's really the key.
Happiness is something that comes from within. If you get anything outside of yourself that is making you happy, that's a bonus. But happiness always begins with your mental state, and how you feel about things. And you know what? At the end of the day, you control how you feel. You do. You have to decide that you want to be happy. If you let everything externally bother you, you may never find happiness. In these situations where, you know, and being a father, being a divorced dad, and then working with divorced dads, I know this one only too well. You know, you have plenty of things taken away from you, lots. And this time of year can be a really, really hard time for a lot of dads who are going through some really tough situations and pain. But if you allow someone to also steal your inner happiness, you know, just as a person, forget about the things you own or the things you've lost or the relationship that you had with your wife or the relationship that you lost or the time with the children that you had or the time with the children you're not having. First of all, before all this, you know, you had a life before all this. You know, you have to start with yourself first. If you learn how to maintain your happiness, that will be the greatest tactic and strategy in this whole nonsensical mess that you find yourself really enmeshed in when you're, you know, in a family court or a family law situation. And it is that mindset that is going to see you through from beginning to end, and it's going to serve you best. Heidi?
Well, Danny, let's move on. Let's turn to page 4. For those of you who are new to listening to these webcasts, please be sure to visit DivorceDadMinute.com and download your free copy of the Divorce 101 report that Danny Gusby's written. This is a great ebook, fabulous information. And all you do is go to the main website at DivorceDadMinute.com. There's a sign-up form. You just put your name and email address in there, and the form, the ebook is sent to you. And highly recommend that you download that, read it, reread it, check in once in a while. It goes into great detail. The whole concept behind waging peace and how this can be an incredibly effective tool as you're going through this process of separation and divorce. All right, let's move on to page 5, and we're going to start with a main point to remember at this critical time when we're talking about how you can actually create a happy holiday. And part of it is to help create great memories. You know, childhood comes and goes so quickly. It's almost as if you sort of blink and all of a sudden your kids are, you know, 2 years older, 3 years older, and now they're teenagers, and now they're going off to college, and, you know, before you know it, well, they've left, you know, they've left the nest. It's pretty interesting how that can happen literally overnight. It seems like it's overnight. It takes 20 years, but still, it's pretty incredible how quick it happens. So part of your job as a parent is to help create those memories. And listen, those memories are going to be yours too. And Danny, why don't you go into a little more detail on what this whole concept is about declaring and planning to include a peace day during the holidays?
Well, I'm very big on this one too, peace day, because it's something that you rarely see or rarely hear of.
Right.
I look at it from this perspective. It's not your kid's fault that the family blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And who are the ones that get ripped off? Kids.
Well, the kids get ripped off.
Sure. Right, they get ripped off. I mean, they lose their entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as much as you may think to yourself, well, geez, it's a great deal. You know, you get Christmas for 2 or 3 days in a row, sometimes for the kid. Having been one of those kids, it's not that great a deal at all. It can be exhausting and very tiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most kids, it's like this. You know, they love getting up in the morning and celebrating Christmas. And they love to, you know, play with their toys or whatever their gifts they got if they're older. And then they, you know, like to just enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, they expect that there's going to be some kind of family celebration. But when it goes on for day after day after day after day after day, you know, when they're running to grandmas, running to grandpas, running to grandmas, running to grandpas, running to aunts and uncles, running to mums, running to dads, I mean, it can become wearing after a while. So I was thinking to myself, you know, within the context of Christmas, what's probably the one gift that kids wish for that they rarely get? What do you think, Heidi?
Oh, that mom and dad could be in the same room?
Yeah.
Not killing each other?
Yeah. So I thought to myself, well, why not? I mean, what is Christmas supposed to be about? Peace and goodwill, forgiveness, right?
Right.
And the ability to reach out your hand to someone else and say, okay, I'm going to set everything aside for a day and be peaceful.
Right.
Why not give your kids the gift of a peace day?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you could take this concept, and I mean, you can extend it. You could declare one day a month peace day, you know, even if mom refuses to participate in this. Because your children, I think, are really at the final analysis going to see, you know, what the problems are, namely that one of their parents is being unreasonable and stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it and say you should always try to insist that we can do better and take the this is your mantra, you know, we owe our children a peace day. And, you know, when you're in family court, insist on concrete answers that explain why mom refuses to participate if that's what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to remember that peace is a verb, an action word. It is always a better word than war.
Well, I know one of the people that has often been brought up in these conversations about peace days and being peaceful is Mother Teresa. And I remember hearing Jack Canfield talk about Mother Teresa.
Who's Jack Canfield?
Jack Canfield is half of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series. He's one of the partners in that incredibly successful book series. And Jack is an incredibly smart man, and we have listened to him on several webcasts, actually, talk about many different things. But the one thing that he did mention that I thought was really interesting, and I think that was actually in the movie The Secret, where he was interviewed, where he talked about Mother Teresa. And he said that Mother Teresa never went to an anti-war rally. Her her approach was, if you're going to have a peace rally, I'll be there, but I'm not interested in an anti-war rally.
I'm not against anything. I'm for something.
Right. And I mean, it's really an interesting contrast. There is a difference between an anti-war as opposed to a peaceful or a peace demonstration.
Well, think about it for a minute, okay? The difference between being against something as opposed to being for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which one sounds negative and which one sounds positive?
Right, right. You know, the bottom line is that approaching everything from a peaceful perspective,
positive perspective,
and a positive perspective really can make a huge difference, not only in your child's life, but in your own life too. You know, this it does have a ripple effect. So, all right, Danny, let's dive right in. Let's turn to page 6 and the entire top 10 that we're going to be covering for this training session. Also, quick note on page 7, there's an area where you can jot down notes from what we're going to be discussing. So, 4, happy holiday ideas. Number 1, Danny.
Document every peacemaking effort. Peace is an actionable verb. Always. It takes love, courage, and self-sacrifice. Document every peace effort you make.
Now, why is that important, Danny?
Well, I think a lot of times in family court, especially, dads get pigeonholed as being real jerks, that they're angry, that they're controlling, that they are trying to give mom the hardest time possible. When you begin documenting all your efforts to make peace, you begin to cast a lot of doubt on that aspersion.
Right. Well, you know, part of this is, you know, the kids are already feeling blue, and so, because their family's not together. And depending on their ages, they may not even be able to articulate that. You know, there's a sadness that they feel. Now, you may see them running around and all happy because they've got presents that they're opening and toys that they're playing with, new toys. But, you know, the bottom line is often what happens is that deep down they're not feeling really happy. And, you know, if you can find a way to bridge the anger into a peaceful gathering, even if it's just for a short while, it doesn't have to be an entire day. You know, we'll be going through some different ideas in this top 10 series. But as Danny's saying, you know, part of what really helps you is if you start documenting all your efforts in this regard. And that really sets you apart from what most fathers are dealing with, especially if you've got this documented. Danny?
So, let's move on to number 2. Insist that we can always do better. You owe your kids peace. It is your duty and mission. Be lawful yet relentless, clever and charming at every step.
Yeah, part of that is just a mindset, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think that this is the whole focus of this particular training session, is the kind of mindset that you need to get into in order to bring about peace, is that you have to have a happy mindset to begin with, and you have to refuse to allow the other person to dictate how you're going to react and feel about things. You know, that you're going to take 2 steps back for yourself and say, well, no, I'm not going there.
You know, this can be really challenging, though. Let's face it.
Oh, it could be a lot of fun, though, too. Because
this is a time when, you know, you're under stress.
But it can be a lot of fun,
right,
too. Okay, you know why?
Why?
Well, think this through. Here you are, you're feeling rotten and miserable. The other side is trying to claim that you're a miserable so-and-so, but you're doing things like declaring a peace day.
Mm-hmm.
You're inviting mom and the kids out for dinner during Christmas. You know, there are some moms who will say, he's harassing me.
Right.
You know, I actually, you know, that when I think back to when I used to do agency in court many years ago, I would have loved it for the other side to step up and say, the father is harassing the mother. He invited the mom and the kids out for dinner.
Right.
You just picture the judge, okay, right? They kind of blink for a minute and go, did I hear that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that's harassment?
Right.
Right.
So part of this is just keeping a positive mindset. and believing that you can improve things. Now, you may not feel that way today. Part of the whole process is just, first of all, believing that it's even possible. Now, right now, you may not like your ex too much.
Well, this whole mindset thing is the flip side of something else, okay? Like when you're in family court, you know, if you're there and you're representing yourself, when you get intimidated by a lawyer, and how we teach people very often that they have to train themselves to have the mental discipline to not cave in, you know, to inappropriate deals and so on and so forth,
mm-hmm.
when they're in that kind of a situation. You know, this may feel just as stressful too, and it may feel like she's never going to bite on this. She's never. There's no way. It's never going to work. I got a quick little story. Okay, remember Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Dave was a father who was in China, and his children had been totally alienated. And
he used to live in Canada.
Yeah.
He went to China after not seeing his kids for 3 or 4 years. He
right.
just couldn't take it anymore.
Right, and it was around this time last year. It was the beginning of this year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It was the first meeting in Toronto this year that he turned up. And
it was a live meeting.
It was a live meeting in Toronto. Okay,
yeah.
Dave had been a regular participant in the Toronto meetings, and his story was is that, in essence, he lost everything. His children were alienated from him. And he went to China to start again as an ESL teacher. There ended up that he had to renew his passport. They wouldn't renew his passport, saying he was somewhat behind on his child support.
Mm-hmm.
Forces him back to Canada. Okay?
Yeah.
He ends up coming back, getting a legal aid lawyer, and coming into our meetings. And, you know, we told him, listen, you know, unfortunately, the reality in this thing is that very often legal aid does very little for guys, unfortunately. You know, we wish we could tell you something else, but that's not the case. And you're going to need to learn how to represent yourself, probably. You know, that's our, you know, our bet based on seeing this go on for the last 15 years in these meetings. So Dave didn't take that to heart at first, but ultimately that's what played out. You know, with our help, we helped him at these meetings to configure his case in such a way that he got a good order and allowed him to return back to China. But he still hadn't fixed the kid problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even think it was worthwhile to even try that. He just wanted to get back to China and get back to his life. So lo and behold, the first meeting this year in Toronto, there's Dave. We hadn't seen him in 2 years. It was like, I couldn't believe it. It was one of those kind of nights where the snow was coming down really hard, so it was just myself and Dave and one other person in the room, in a room that usually has about 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Dave talked about his situation, and, you know, he was back, and, you know, he was still missing his kids, and he was looking for ideas as to, you know, how he could do something, you know, in order to see his kids, and the other fellow had his difficulties. And so what I shared with Dave was this whole concept of peace day and mental attitude. Before he left for China, before he left to go back for China, okay, because he was only in Toronto for, I think, about 10 days.
He was visiting his mom
yeah.
and some other family,
right?
Mm-hmm.
We get this email,
mm-hmm.
and it's got some pictures attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Dave had invited out his wife.
His ex-wife. Her boyfriend.
Her new boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
right? And the kids, and said, you know what? I'd just like to bury the hatchet. I'd like to take you all out for dinner. It's all on me. You know, bring your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Guess what happened?
They all showed up.
Yeah. First time he'd seen his kids in 3 years.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And we actually talked with Dave about that. You know, we have a, we did an actual interview with him. And you know what? Here's
mm-hmm.
what I'd like to do. I'd like to make that interview available.
Okay.
Okay. So maybe what we can do is we can let everybody know. Who's listening to this recording, how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that they can actually hear this recording of us interviewing Dave talking about that whole process.
Well, Danny, what we'll do is we'll put a link on the webcast panel, and that'll take you right to the video interview that we did with him.
Right, because we're going to...
We've got blue links on there,
yeah.
and when I update the... I'll update the study guide
yeah.
for the replay,
yeah.
and I'll make sure I put the... link in that study guide as well.
Right.
Okay? That's how we'll do it.
So, you know, I really, really, really believe in this whole, you know, that we can always do better and then, you know, conduct a peace campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It can
cool.
do wonders for your entire case. And you know what? As you're doing it, you will feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even as you're going through this horrific time.
Absolutely.
Because you'll feel like you're at least doing something that's positive. okay? And you'll be able to stand tall in court and say, well, Your Honor, here are the things that I've tried to do to make it better, okay? Mm-hmm. Instead of going in there and pointing the finger. Because I'll tell you, in any finger-pointing game that goes on in family court, who wins every time?
Usually the moms.
Right. This is the method that has helped more fathers to succeed than any other I know of.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we've sort of segued right into number three here, Danny. Conduct a waging peace campaign, which is I guess the next level from what we've just been talking about. That, you know, you can always do better. That's essentially what Dave did as an example. He started the beginnings of a waging peace campaign. So the whole idea here is to think through your waging peace campaign. How will you do it? How will you remain lawful?
Very important.
And how to be effective. Because you don't want to do something that's going to mess things up, obviously. Okay? You want to make sure whatever you're doing is not crossing the line and not being putting you and the situation in harm's way or in a worse position. The whole concept behind this is that you are setting aside your anger and trying to come up with peaceful solutions to co-parent and make things better for the kids. Danny?
A big part of this is number four, be like Gandhi, resist negativity peacefully. There's nothing better than to show the world what a jerk someone is by not reacting to their game, but by letting them be the jerk.
Yeah, and that's sometimes is incredibly difficult, I think.
Well,
it's
incredibly difficult, especially for guys, because you know why?
Well, twofold. I'll answer why I think it's incredibly difficult for guys. You guys are already up against it, and so you're dealing with an environment that's not father-friendly, and you're surrounded by sometimes situations where you're being blamed for something or you've been accused of something, which isn't actually true. Often that can be used to get the upper hand in family court. I'll tell you, if I was a guy going through this, and when I look at what some of the dads who contact us tell us, I mean, the stories that we've heard over the last 15 years are just mind-blowing. What some fathers have actually had to endure. And, you know, anyone who can withstand that and really come out ahead at the other end, they'll do great. They absolutely will do great. Part of this is understanding how to navigate in an incredibly anti-male environment and hold your head up high and be proud of who you are as a dad.
The big part of this for guys is accountability.
Hmm.
And this is where it becomes sometimes hard to resist and be like Gandhi, is that guys are trained right from the get-go, right from knee-high to a grasshopper, to be little accountability machines, okay, in order to, you know, have order in the world.
Right.
To have consistency, predictability, in order to move on to solving the next problem. That's what guys are designed to do, solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, there's been plenty of books that have been written about this too. You know, like Venus and Mars. Okay, you know, where women will want to talk about feelings and men will want to talk about solutions.
Right.
Right. Maybe we should talk about how we feel about the solution.
Mm-hmm. Well,
maybe we should resolve our feelings in order to move on to the next step.
Again, if you're focused on coming up with solutions as opposed to just continuing the browbeating, that's really not going to move you forward. And truthfully, Danny, what would some of the tactics be if you are constantly being attacked and you're tired of it, you just don't want to continue? What are some of the things that dads can say
if you're immediately facing, you know, all kinds of nonsense from your ex? You know, you go to the door and there's nothing but like a constant stream, a spew of the green stuff that, you know, remember The Exorcist and Linda Blair and her head spinning around 180 degrees and she's spewing out green stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come to the door on Friday night to get your kids and that's what you face.
Well, first of all,
make sure when the green spew comes you step out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it go all over you.
Right.
But I mean, seriously, learn how to smile.
Right.
Learn how to smile and say nothing. Okay?
Mm.
Right? And, you know, I would say to a lot of those fathers, you know, have your recorder rolling, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
right? And just take all that, and then, you know, if you've got 24 of them, go out and get them transcribed and use them in affidavit material.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, trying to make peace with someone like that is going to be darn near impossible. Okay? You know, I'm nobody's fool here, you know. But you have to still be peaceful yourself.
Right.
And you still have to have evidence of your efforts, even if they're not working, okay? You can't just say, well, it's not going to work, therefore I'm not going to do it, you know, because you have to prove to the judge that it wouldn't work,
mm-hmm.
okay? Slice by slice by slice. You got to set up each part of your case for success. You've got to optimize it. You got to bring the beef. You can't just say, here's the way it is, therefore it is. That's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at this and I say, you know what, this is an opportunity to have some fun.
Okay.
Right. You know, let her go bananas. Okay. You know, when you smile, you know, you better be prepared. You better have somebody with you just in case she decides to deck you.
Mm.
Right. Because I've seen that happen in some cases. Okay.
Right.
Right. And you know what? When she decks you, that might be the fatal thing that has her arrested, and that's the end. And then you get to your peaceful life, and then she gets to go to, you know, one of those anger management programs that teaches her how to be peaceful.
Mm.
Right. Sad that it would have to work out like that.
Right.
Okay, but sometimes people have the whole wrong idea that peace just means that you just sit there and go la la la, right? You know, and you let people walk over you like you know, nobody's business. No, that's not what it means at all. It means almost like being a jujitsu master, you know, having a very zen-like attitude to this and saying, you know what? No matter what this person does, they're not going to control my behavior or my attitude.
So would it be helpful to even just study what Gandhi did as an example, Danny? I mean, he was really quite an interesting man in his day.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to actually bring an entire country together without the internet,
yep.
without faxes,
yes.
without email.
Yes.
In fact, I don't even know how much television was around at that. Was television around at that time? I don't even think there was television.
No.
radio.
There was radio, yeah.
There was radio.
But remember, this was India, okay?
Right.
Right? It was part of the British Empire back then, okay? It wasn't controlled by you know, the Indians themselves.
Right. But the truth is he managed to pull together something on a national level in a country where they were oppressed, and he did it peacefully, and he actually, I guess it was the beginning of the end of the British Empire running that country, right?
Well, it was, he led by example. He
right.
led by example. And he was prepared to you know, take whatever came along with
mm-hmm.
it in order to, you know, maintain a peaceful standing, and if the system, if the government was going to abuse him, he let them do it, right? Because
mm-hmm.
his attitude was, you know what, great, you know what, there's 60,000 of us gathered here, you know, and if the British troops beat the living crap out of us in front of the media, you know, the newspaper photographers and so on and so forth, and everybody's reporting from the world press saying, you know, these Indians just sat there peacefully and refused to move, but they were being peaceful, they weren't resisting, and they were getting the living crap beaten out of them. I mean, he understood the power of public relations. That doesn't play very well with people.
Mm.
Why would you beat the living crap out of people who aren't resisting? Why was that necessary?
Well, Danny, I think a more current figure would probably be Nelson Mandela from South Africa,
mm-hmm.
in that, you know, the sacrifices he went through to make things change in a big way in South Africa,
yep.
for his people. So, great examples on how you can learn from other very successful peacemakers over the years. Let's dive into number 5. It's okay to be sad, cry, and miss your kids. And the implementation. Use these negative feelings in a transformational way. Let them be the jet fuel that gets you to the winner's circle faster. What do you mean by that, Danny? Jet fuel. How can feeling sad and blue about what's going on, how can that be jet fuel?
I think that's one of the biggest challenges that face a lot of people is that sometimes when you get into a negative state of mind, taking that negativity and using that and turning it into something positive. And this is a tactic that I learned very, very young, going through the misery of my own parents' situation, what was going on at home. I started playing drums when I was, about 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, one of the ways of getting rid of tons of anxiety mm-hmm. and angry feelings is beating the living crap out of a drum set.
Right.
And you know what? When you actually start getting good at it, bonus.
Right.
You know, when you first start playing, it's nothing but a bunch of noise, right? When you actually learn how to exercise some discipline and control
mm-hmm.
and become not a half bad, drummer,
mm-hmm.
Then you can be really creative in getting out of all your frustration.
Well, I gather that was one way of really releasing the stress that you were feeling.
Well, I can tell you, drumming is a very, very physical thing. Okay, you go play drums for an hour. Okay, it's just every bit as good a workout if you're really working it. Okay, as any kind of aerobic exercise.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, part of this, Danny, is that keeping your mind clear is sometimes preceded by really putting yourself through some physical activity, and that really helps you. In so many different ways, but the main issue is it really helps you bust the stress.
Well, I want to go back to this whole idea, too, about that it's okay to cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Men are raised with this whole idea of big boys don't cry, take it like a man. You know what? That's bunk.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a guy who loves his children that hasn't, when he's going through a tough time like some dads do when they're in family court and that, who hasn't shed a tear.
Right. And
you know what? That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Don't do it in front of the family court judge because they'll brand you a lunatic. But, if you feel sad, it's okay to let it out. And you know what? I suggest that you do. Because if you keep it all in and you keep it all in, like, really tight, you will eventually, it will come tumbling out, okay?
Mm.
If you keep repressing what it is that you're feeling, it's okay to let it out.
Yeah.
Find a mechanism to let it out. And then once you've let it out, I know myself, when I went through a lot of these times, there were times where I had a good cry. I'm not ashamed to admit it either, And when I finally got it out, I actually felt better, right? And said, okay, now I got it out, what does it mean, and what am I doing about something, right?
Right.
And sometimes it would be the catalyst
mm-hmm.
that would take the case to the next level.
Right.
Or help to refocus me on how to find another, tactic or strategy that was peaceful.
Gotcha. Well, Danny, let's move on to number six, and this one is this one's really, I think, an incredibly important point about the holidays. Your kids miss both of you. They really do. They miss mom and dad being happy together. And your duty, really, this is the implementation. Your duty is to be strong for your kids. The holidays are often the saddest time of the year for them because it's reminding them of what they've lost. So, as much as you have your own issues with your ex and she's got issues with you, your kids actually love both of you equally. And what's really hard for them is sometimes seeing this animosity and this anger that might be going on between the two of you. And especially if it goes on and on for years. I mean, Danny, you're a perfect example of this. Your parents have not been in the same room for over 30 years, right?
Yeah, that's very true. And you know what? And this is the sad part. I've not been in a room with either one of them. Like with my mother, I haven't been in the same room in 20 years.
Right.
My father, I haven't been in the same room for the last several years. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is sometimes what happens during divorce is that things become so fractured and upsetting that no matter what you try to do to make things better or to bring healing or bring peace or to fix things,
mm-hmm.
the other people aren't ready for it or they don't want it.
Right. So really, part of what you can do for your kids to make them feel better about this is to be strong for them and focus on trying to make them happy, whatever it takes. Listen, the younger the child, the easier it is. You pull out some ice cream or you bring out a new toy or you participate with them with some of the new toys that they have. Or if part of the gifts were games that families can play together to gather the family around and have them be part of this whole process. Incredibly important.
So we're on number seven. send your ex a Christmas present. If your ex is being peaceful, send a gift of appreciation. If she's misbehaving, send her books about peacemaking.
Well, that would, you know, that would be a real tough one, I think, Danny, to send her books about peacemaking. I can just see that, you know, a really angry ex would just throw the book back right at you, right?
Make sure you have someone to catch it on videotape.
That's true. But you know what? Sending a gift of appreciation, and it should be something, not anything extravagant. I mean, if your ex likes a particular type of chocolate or, you know, flowers are probably inappropriate because there's some romance attached to that. But, I mean, if there's a favorite food or a favorite restaurant that she likes to go to, you know, give her a gift certificate for something like that. And so that she can enjoy herself and that, you know, you spend a little bit of time putting something together for her. This is also something that you can do with your kids just to show that, you know what, even though mom and dad aren't living together anymore, we had sort of covered this in the last part where, you know, make sure that you go shopping with your kids and purchase a gift. Help them figure out what, you know, gift they should purchase for mom. At the same time, maybe ask for their help, and what do you think I should give mom? I'm going to give her a small gift. What would she like? And so, you know, this is sort of an extension of that, especially if things have started to calm down. Just a small token gift can make a world of difference in trying to repair whatever has gone on between the two of you in the course of the breakup. Danny?
Number 8, invite your ex for dinner with the kids. When the kids are with you, the best gift is to invite mom and all the family for holiday Xmas time, even when they say no.
Well, for some people, Danny, this might be a stretch. I mean, if you've been separated for a long time, you know, 5, 10 years.
Something is only a stretch if you refuse to consider it.
Mm.
You know, there are going to be times where the people will say no, okay?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I will share that I was really moved by. When my mother passed away about 4.5 years ago, not only did my ex-husband come to the funeral, he came with his significant partner, who I actually really, really like, and my brother's first wife, his ex-wife, also came to my mom's funeral. I mean, that was pretty incredible. I mean, here, both my brother and I were remarried, and obviously our spouses were there, but our exes came as well, and that was an extension in many ways. A lot of this peacemaking stuff is stuff that my mom used to do, so, you know, it kind of reflected in when she had her last goodbye, you know, and people came out to wish her the best and send her off to wherever she went off to, right? The spirit world or whatever. But the thing is, you know, again, you may not be ready for this just yet. Build up to it. If dinner isn't something in the works, try and extend it to the grandparents and your in-laws that, you know, you'd like to have them come over and spend some time with the kids and reminisce on old holidays. It's really, really important. And do it in a measured way. Sometimes people will think there's some sort of agenda here. There's no agenda at all. It's incredibly important to be inclusive and think positively. And if they are vehemently against coming, don't let that be the last time you ask. Ask again. And, you know, if it's a matter of having, you know, that they're not comfortable coming to your house, then set something up in a neutral location. Meet at a coffee shop or maybe one of those dessert places or a restaurant, you know, a neutral place where if someone's uncomfortable, they can just leave without causing a scene. Danny?
Number 9, remember, this is not the last holiday. There is no perfect white Christmas. Media and retailers want you to buy into the myth, which affects your expectations.
Oh, this is so true. And you know what? This really, I think this affects not only parents and families that are breaking up. or have broken up and gone their separate ways. You know, I think that's absolutely true. There is this holiday stress that everybody talks about at this time of year, that, you know, everybody wants everything perfect, and there is no perfection. There is no perfect way of doing this. And then you throw in something like a separation or a divorce, and it just gets a lot messier. So, you know, the other thing, of course, is if you don't have your kids for the holiday this year, it's not the end of the world. As Danny said, you know, celebrate early. I don't know any kids who wouldn't want to open their gifts early and tell their friends at school or whatever. Bottom line, you know what? If it's not this year, there's always next year. And you're a dad forever. Don't ever forget that. It's incredibly important to just celebrate the holiday whenever you're together. And if that's a week after the event, so be it.
Well, we settled into a very, you know, happy pattern after a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once we had it all figured out, you
mm-hmm.
know, when the years we had and the years we didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And the years that we didn't have, I mean, yeah, we missed having the kids on Christmas Day.
Yeah, but we made up for it because we usually went down to Florida.
Yeah.
And we would celebrate the Christmas event usually a week before the actual holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were all excited because they got to open their presents early. And we got to spend Christmas in the sunny south.
Yeah, we did. And, I mean, it was always, you know, it wasn't as hard as you would think.
No.
You know? It felt a little strange at first,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it wasn't what we were used to.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, it just, this is what we were doing as a family.
That's right.
And it seemed very natural.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think that it's just a matter of altering your expectations a little bit. If you insist too much on perfection instead of progress, I think that you end up making yourself unhappy.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're in the home stretch here with number 10. Consider volunteering. The holidays are amongst the saddest time of the year for those who are less fortunate. Volunteer and count your blessings.
You know, this is really a time. There's actually a tremendous gift in giving as opposed to receiving. And, you know, part of the whole idea of volunteering, whether you volunteer at the local food bank or if there's a soup kitchen nearby or, you know, if there's an old folks home where the people that are living there really have no family that come and visit them. Or, again, visit kids that are sick in hospital, that, you know, just go and visit and say hello and bring them some small trinkets or something. I mean, there are so many people that are far more worse off than you are. It'll brighten your day and actually brighten their day, which makes a world of difference in the big picture. And it's also a great example for your kids to focus on volunteering and realizing to be grateful. Even though this is a really sad time of year because the family's no longer together, focus on the less fortunate and count the blessings that you do have. All right, let's move on. I hope you all had some good notes from what we covered here. On the notepad on page 7, let's move on to page 8. And just a quick review on the Parenting Diary. This is a product that we've developed called the Parenting Diary. It's a fantastic organizing tool to help you keep track of everything that's pertinent to your child or children. You can this is workable for however many children you do have. You can keep a list of all the activities that children are involved in. It's also a great tool to help improve communication, especially if that communication is breaking down between you and your ex. It's a very good tool to help prepare a co-parenting plan. You can use this while you're in mediation sessions, or if you're still on relatively good speaking terms with your ex, try and work it out together. It's $49.95 U.S., and if you'd like to purchase one, just click on the big button or visit theparentingdiary.com.
So, we're on page 9, action steps for today, and the first step is, what can I do to create the best holiday this year? Heidi?
Yeah, this is a time to kind of review what we just covered here and really focus on maybe just one thing that you can do to really try and change this holiday and improve it. And don't try and do too much. Just pick one thing. And number two, determine how to incorporate the success solutions to get you moving forward on that one thing that you've decided to focus on. Danny?
And finally, number three, create the best holiday preparation plan now.
And that pretty much covers the training session for this part two, how to create a happy holiday.
So we thank you so much for joining us. We wish you every success with your challenges. Stay strong and remain focused on your goals. Refuse to be baited by anyone. And remember,
the most important job you'll ever have
is to be a dad.
Thanks so much for listening.